Well, we have a special treat for you this weekend. We'd like to welcome Chris and Stephanie Teague to our stage, who together formed the duo Out of the Dust. Chris and Stephanie hail from Nashville. You'll hear much more about their story later in the service. They would love to meet you. We'll have CDs available in the atrium after the service. Please give a warm Vineyard Cincinnati welcome to Out of the Dust.
Life is more than simply chasing after things I think I need. It's not about me, it's not about me, it's not about me. Every day I slave and search for what will make me be okay. There's only one thing, there's only one thing, there's only one thing.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your wonderful presence, and we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, you know where each and every one of us are right now today as we're together. So, Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak to us, and the things that you speak to us and share with us, those are the things that we'll act on. We want to be more like you, and we want to impact the people around us with your love. So come and be with us today. Father, for those who are sitting near us, we pray for them. God, that you would minister to them today in a way that only you can. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. If God's been good to you this week, could you give him a hand of praise? Happy Valentine's Day. I saw men getting cards last night. Some of you just now freaked out because you're like, I gotta get it. It's too late. It's too late. I looked up the top 100 love songs of all times. Justin Bieber's song was number one. No, I'm kidding. It wasn't even in the top 50. I mean, I don't know where it was. There might be some Bieber fans here. Is it too late for me to say I'm sorry? Oh, so bad. No, he wasn't really on the list. We expect a lot out of love, and in our love songs, it shows up. Love lift us up where we belong. Where somebody just went, oh, yeah. There's another one. Your love keeps lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before. If you don't know that song, you're too young. Captain and Tennille, philosophers from the 60s and 70s, they sang, love, love will keep us together. Okay, I just wanted you to make sure you get it in your mind. Get it stuck there. Then through the list, there were all kind of Barry White songs. Don't clap. Okay. So your wife is feeling awkward right now. It's just a little, yeah, it's a little weird to hear a man through every single song, no matter what the song is, he's baby, the word baby is in there, through the whole thing. I guess it's love songs. Okay. Anita Baker sings a song about sweet love that made the list. Paul McCartney and the Wings. Some people want to fill the world with silly love songs. What's wrong with that? I need to know, because here I go. Again, horn solo. Oh, man, that's a great song. Need to Google that later. And then Rod Stewart asked the age-old question. Have I told you lately that I love you? Which every man's like, I know I told her when we got married, but really, honestly, have I told her? It's a good question. Adele teaches us that sometimes it lasts in love, and sometimes it hurts instead. Sometimes it lasts. We don't know. We don't know. It's a toss-up. It's a roll of the dice. Sometimes it lasts. Sometimes it just hurts. All of her songs make you cry even when you don't want to. And then One Direction. If you don't know who One Direction is, you need to ask your grandkids. One Direction talks about the story of their life. Okay, what are you, 19? You have no story of your life. There's no story. It's like I'm riding around with my 15-year-old daughter and a song comes on and she says, throwback. That's like 2 years old. I'm like, listen. If you know the song, it's not a throwback. Making me feel old. Give me the scanner. I'll show you some old music. That was music. Yeah, I know. So, every parent feels the same. One Direction, the story of my life. The chorus starts, I'll take her home. I've got two daughters. I don't like that song. I've got One Direction you're going to go. My direction I'm going to end up going is to prison because you're not taking my daughter home. These are the things that I'm thinking as I listen to this music. This is love songs, right? Then I heard this guy sing this song, you only know you love them when you let them go. It was a leprechaun that was singing this song. And I guess, I don't know. Is that true? You only know you love them when you let them go. There's all kind of love philosophy in the songs that we listen to, and I love the songs. But all of the songs have to do with emotion, feelings. Do we really want to trust Miley Cyrus with the idea that we have of love? It's usually always around emotion and feeling and a romantic idea. And I'm not saying there's such a thing as romance and wonderful feelings and emotions. Those things follow great choices about love. It really does exist, but that's not the definition of love. That's why Tina Turner asked the question, what's love got to do with it? It's a great question. What's love but a secondhand emotion? You hear that? A sweet old-fashioned notion. What has love got to do with it? Is this really all there is to love? Is a feeling, a pronouncement that I can say, I love you, and that's all there is? It's just these words. I'm hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing that you're in love with me. And the songs go on and on and on, and they're wonderful songs, but they do not hold true as a definition of love. If we want to find out what's true, we always go back to the scriptures. If we want to find out the definition of things, we find it out here. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and He was full of grace and truth. And we find the truth in Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says this. You're familiar with this. I love how it starts. This is definitely not in any song you've heard lately. Love suffers. Aerosmith did sing a song, Love Hurts, but that's kind of different. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. That negates 99% of the songs. It's not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Look at these words. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. It's not really a toss-up when you're dealing with true love, the love of God. It's not, well, sometimes it lasts and sometimes it doesn't. You can fall in love, you can fall out of love. You know, a lot of our culture thinks that it's like walking into a manhole. You just kind of fall. I just fell into it. I mean, I had no choice in the matter whatsoever. And that's kind of scary in your relationships because you say, well, at any given moment, they can just wake up and fall out of love with me. If you fell in, then you can fall out. It's not a choice that you make. But God gives us the true definition of love in His Word. And it endures, and it lasts, and it's real, and it suffers long, and it's patient, and it's kind, and it's all these real things that feel, it feels like, see, I think the reason we don't sing about that is because love is hard work. It's hard work, and it has to come from God. This is why I'm so excited this weekend to have the Teagues with us and have them share their real life journey and their story of what's happened in their relationship and how God is using them. I want to take some time to ask them a few questions. Would you welcome back to the stage Chris and Stephanie Teague? I love it. We got a scene change right now. So here we are in the studio. So we want to hear your story. Obviously, I've heard it a couple times now, but start at the beginning and just tell us where you met and where you fell in love.
Sure. We met in high school on a mission trip to Philadelphia with our youth pastor at the time, Eric Ferris, the one and only. So we know lots of backstory dirt about.
So youth ministry is where you find your future husband or wife, just a plug for youth ministry. Okay, go ahead.
He even married us. So we met on the trip, quickly fell in love. We were still in high school, so we had a little bit of time to go, but we were in college together as well at MTSU outside of Nashville and just decided, well, we know we want to get married. We can make it work financially, so why not? You know, I mean, throw caution to the wind. We're good people. We can make this work. So we got married in the middle of college, and things were perfect, right?
Yeah.
We had it all figured out.
And your relationship was perfect because you were in the first year of marriage and you knew everything and it was wonderful and it was happily ever after.
Everyone knows it's the easiest year. Yeah.
That's right. So you started going through some stuff personally when you were in school. Talk about what was going on and how you were feeling and what you were going through.
Yeah, so I have always been into, I've always had an engineering mind, and I've always loved space and science and the cosmos. And when you study that stuff, it's really easy to fall into some of the critiques of modern Christianity from the secular side, from the science side, and the demand for proof. And I really fell into a lot of those doubts, and that crept in with, you know, what God says about us and how everything came to be. And it all kind of came together at the perfect moment when I'm in college, when I'm in the music program at MTSU and outside of Nashville. And music program is obviously very wholesome, so there's no temptation there at all. But that really sort of opened the door to, I guess it sort of opened my mind to be more receptive to those critiques, because you're in college in your formative years. And so I was questioning, I felt a lot of shame about the things that I felt and the things that I had questions about with God. So I wasn't sharing any of this with Stephanie or anyone for that matter. And I'm on stage leading worship for fourth, fifth, and sixth graders on Sunday morning with a headset and like smoking weed the night before. So it's just a bad situation. Again, all in secret. So it was a rough time, and it was bound to come to a head.
So, and I experienced this in college too, I think, especially for young men, when you go in and you're just bombarded with all these ideas. Did you have any idea of what he was going through at this time?
I had no idea to what extent. I didn't know anything about the drugs. He hadn't shared that with me, but I did know at one point that he was having some doubts with his faith. But for us, we both grew up in the church. I feel like anybody that has known the gospel, known the truth ever since they were born, you have to come to a place as you're becoming an adult to really claim it as your own. So I figured this is his time. He's going through it. He's testing it to see what he truly believes. So I saw the books he was reading, Case for Christ, some of these great, you know, theological things that he was reading, and I thought, okay, like he's getting through it, but I wasn't going through it with him, so I didn't know.
So talk about when this kind of comes to a head, some months into your marriage, and what happened next?
We were married for a year. Is that 2 years?
No, it'd have been three.
I mean, 3 years.
Everyone, Valentine's Day.
Everyone.
It's Valentine's Day.
I remember
it's ruined
it
that.
We'd been married 3 years.
It's too late. Just go ahead and go on.
So, everything did come to a head, and I sat Stephanie down one Thursday night in January, and I said, I don't believe in God anymore, and I don't want to be married anymore.
Stephanie, talk about this for a second. So you had no idea there was this, you know, this kind of secret life really going on, and then one night he sits you down before you go out to dinner. What's going through your heart and mind?
Yeah, I completely out of the blue for me, completely. I mean, we were ready to go to dinner. And for me, I'm the kind of person that I like to have all my ducks in a row. I've got my life planned out. I've got, you know, I just like structure and control, which is a lot of what was my issue that God revealed to me. But my life was completely ripped out from under me. Everything I thought I knew about where my life was going, what we were doing, it was gone in that moment. So I was in a state of shock. I think he'll tell you, I hardly said a word for probably half an hour after he told me, because I could not compute it in my head what was happening.
So Chris is pursuing this divorce, and now you're believers, you're Christians, and you know, we know God doesn't approve of it. You have all this going on in your mind. How did you come to terms with that? You filed papers and everything.
Yeah, so when we sat down and awkwardly together for like a month or so.
Yeah, I fought for him. I fought for us. But he was in a place where he was very cordial about it. He'll even tell you there was nothing angry. There was nothing like that. But we tried, you know, we sent our pastors his way and he'd listen, you know. But there was nothing.
An iron fist with a velvet glove, just so cordial and nice, but just didn't really care what anybody thought. And when I left, I left the church, I left Stephanie, I left everything, you know, and pushed God away, got to be the prodigal son and spend all the riches and live in the freedom. And I always talk about the idols that were in my heart and the things, the experiences that I was searching for. I found pretty consistently through drugs and other, you know, even through space. You know, you can find wonder, but those can be spent very quickly, and they were spent very quickly. And I was in a toxic relationship that I got into very quickly, and just ended up sort of face down, you know, just completely waking up in cold sweats, and really everything started caving in, and not really knowing what to do or where to go, and that's where
I mean, did this surprise you at this point? Because you're thinking, man, I'm going to go out, and I'm going to experience all this stuff. I'm going to do everything I wanted to do, and 7-8 months in, and it's not working out.
Oh, yeah, I hit a wall. Yeah, it was wild. I've used the analogy before, like a dog that doesn't know that it's on a leash, but it just, like, runs as fast as it can for the street, and then that's what it felt like, just total... Yeah, just total caving in, and that's where God found me. You know?
So, what was the move that you made once you realized the mistakes? And you're trying to come back to God. You want to come back to Stephanie. What'd you do then?
I did what every son-in-law would do. I called Stephanie's mother first, famously, instead of calling Stephanie.
Okay, this is how you know you've hit rock bottom. You're willing to call your mother-in-law as the first step for help. I love that part of the story.
A mother-in-law who thought very highly of him at the time for what what her daughter went through.
Yeah.
So I reached out and just sort of as the buffer, reached out to Stephanie's mom and told her what was going on, shared with her what was happening, and eked my way into... an evening with Stephanie at her new house, which she bought in the same neighborhood that we lived in before, just down the street from me. So she's stubborn.
I'm a little stubborn. I liked our neighborhood, so I wanted to stay. Yeah. So after he talked with my parents, my mom asked me if it was okay because he wanted to talk to me. So he came over, but he didn't come in the house because that was my new life. Man, God had brought me through so much, and that was my safe place. So we walked around the neighborhood. At the end of the night, for a couple of hours, just talking about what God had done in both of our lives. And so that night ended with us in the driveway and him expressing to me that he felt very strongly that God had told him that we were supposed to be together again.
Okay, so he goes off, he comes back, and he immediately plays the God card.
Right, like 2 hours in.
God told me. And how are you feeling about that at that moment?
At that point, I don't remember the actual words that I said, but I remember thinking, okay, but no. Because, I mean, obviously, trust was broken. There were things. I had gone through a divorce care class. You know, I was ready to accept that he wasn't in my life anymore. And I'd always believed that he'd come back to the Lord, but I didn't think that I was going to be involved in that. So from there, we took some time apart. We didn't immediately start talking or dating or anything. He did some counseling on his own. I wanted to see that the change in him was real. It wasn't just I need to fix everything really fast because I screwed up and I'm miserable. So I needed to know that the heart that I had seen and heard in that conversation was real. It was a real change. So he did counseling. We did some together. A few months after that conversation, our counselor kind of gave us the go ahead. You guys are good. If marriage is what you want, you're good to go ahead and pursue that. So we went on our second first date in November of that same year, 2010, and then we're engaged January 2011. See, I do the dates. And then February of 2011, we were remarried in a really small ceremony with just our family.
That's amazing. Go back for a minute, Stephanie, and talk about the 8 months where he was gone, and he's doing his thing. And he's out, you know, sowing oats and having fun, right? And you're at home. I'm feeling like people would say, how do you process that? How do you love again? How do you endure? How do you believe and hope and all that?
Oh man, one of the best things for me in that period of time is I went on a women's retreat. I think you're having a women's retreat soon, right?
We are.
So plug, they're great. And the theme was joy and finding joy in suffering. And so I had this paper of scriptures of just almost every scripture reference about joy that I really clung to that helped me look past, I guess, the pain and the broken trust. And to have a love for him that didn't come from the human part of me that was so hurt. And God honestly just helped me through that and to know how to love him well, what that meant in that process. And I had a great support system around me. It's so necessary when you're going through anything. We have a great community group back at our home church that were so helpful.
So Chris, talk to us about your relationship with Jesus now. You're Christians through this entire process, but you still have questions. I mean, there's still the cosmos that's unexplainable and mysterious out there. How's your relationship with Jesus changed?
Yeah, and I really do believe that God held me through all of that. You know, I do feel like that was, even though we push him away, this isn't a plug, but we do have another song called You Pursue, where it's like God pursues us even when we don't want him to. You know, he comes after us, and I feel like that really describes that period of time. And coming back, you know, you talked about love a second ago and how love is hard, and loving God is hard, you know, like wrestling, if we're not wrestling with ourselves and with the Bible, I'm not sure we're doing it right, you know? And so that love, we need God to love God, which is ironic, but I feel like that was the piece that was missing. My love for God was selfish, and when I brought these questions, it's like I had this affront against God, and the way you frame the questions to God, excuse me, is so important. And that relationship with Christ is what I think brought me back, is encountering God. Because the story can't be proven. The story of Jesus, as much as we want it to be proven, there's evidence for it, but it can't be proven that he did resurrect. He was resurrected, but when you encounter that story and you engage with that story and you let that story do a work in you is when I feel like the change happens and God changes your heart. And change in our relationship happens just through transparency. The shame, I say it all the time, I'm so thankful that there's no judgment in our home. Now, we don't believe all the same things all the time. I mean, we usually will come somewhere to a close agreement, but we talk through things. We talk about new ideas and things that we're finding, and there's no shame, and just that transparency is so, so crucial for us.
Talk about how God uses you now and the themes that you feel like he uses you to bring out as you're sharing and singing.
We have the opportunity to tell this story quite often and through our music, and it's not, you know, it's not an easy hunky-dory, hey, like, this is great, this is what God did, and he did amazing things in our story, but we also know that it doesn't just tie a pretty bow, and there's not a pretty bow on everybody's story that's touched by divorce or a broken relationship, no matter what that relationship is, and we still have to work at it. We went through counseling last year that was so good for us, and I recommend it for everybody, no matter where you are in your relationship, but we just want people to see and to feel the hope that God is a God of miracles, and he can take the dirtiest and hopeless of situations and turn it into something beautiful, and he promises us that in his word.
However it ends, you know, whatever right. The ending is, there's a bigger story than what the pain and the suffering that we're going through, that he works through that. And that's just one aspect. Another thing is just through what I walk through with the doubts, and I feel like a theme that comes up pretty often, especially in this modern age, is just how we deal with our doubts and dealing and working through that. And I mean, I said a little bit earlier, but when we come to God with those sort of proud questions, like, God, how could this be true? You know, even just saying, God, how could this be true? You know, I want to invite you in and lean into those doubts and expect that God is bigger than that question. I feel like it's so, so helpful to me in this time, because trust, when you think about the trust fall, there's no trust without an element of risk, you know. And leaning into that is what has been so beautiful through my story of reconstruction of my faith.
And I appreciate so much your honesty and vulnerability and willingness to share triumphs, but also difficulties that you're going through. I really love your music, too, and I appreciate that you have the ability to put it into words and to beautiful music. Would you thank them for being with us today? They're going to do one more song, but before they do, I was reminded of when Jesus was asked a very honest question. A lot of times the people would come up to him and they would ask him, how do we inherit eternal life? How do we become a part of what you're doing? It's a legitimate question. And one particular person asked him this, and he was going back and forth, and they wanted to know, how do you sum up all of the law, all of the prophets? What would you say is the most important law? What is the most important thing that we can do if we're going to follow you? In Luke chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus responds in this way. He answered them and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. He pulled from Deuteronomy, where he's talking about loving God with all of who you are. And he answered the whole question. All of the law hangs on this one word, love. And then he threw in a bonus answer that they didn't necessarily ask for. Love God, that's where it all begins. And then through that love, you are to love one another. Love your neighbor. As soon as they heard the Messiah say, love your neighbor, they came out with a question. Who is my neighbor? They weren't really asking, who is my neighbor? They were asking, who isn't my neighbor? Do I have to love Republicans? Do I have to love Democrats? Do I have to love people? I mean, I have hard enough time loving the people that are in my house. Who is my neighbor? I have to love my neighbors. I have to love people that not just agree with me, but I have to love those who disagree with me. He goes even further and says, those who hate you, despise you, spitefully use you, pray for them and love them too. Now you've gone too far. And here's what I found in my own heart and life. I'm self-centered. I have an ego. I'm focused on me. I don't possess naturally a great love for all people. And the more you know about people, the less likely you are to love them. It's easy to love an acquaintance. Hi. So where do we go? We go to the Father and we say, Lord, I want to love you. And then with that love that you have, will you teach me how to love people? We can grow in our love for other people and our love for him. And this is what Christianity is all about. This is how they're going to know that he's the Christ and that we're his followers, that we have his love. So here's what I want us to do. As they're singing this last song, I want you just to open your hearts to the Holy Spirit. And just as we're listening and as we're watching, we're just praying a prayer. Father, will you teach me and show me how to love?
Salvage what we can from the wreckage that was left from our mistakes.
Take the dirt and slowly put it back into the hole that we have made.
This is what we promised. This is when we said that we would stay.
We should just be honest. On our own, we can't resuscitate.
Just stand with me as we close in prayer. Let me give you one last encouragement. There are no pat and easy answers in the Christian walk. And you're thinking of scenarios and situations that you're in, and you're wondering if there's an easy answer. The answer is you'll find wisdom as you seek the Father. And He has wisdom for every situation. And He'll give it to you as you seek Him. You don't need to worry about that. As you seek Him, you will find Him, and He'll show you. And my experience is, most of the time, the answer will surprise you. He's with you. Father, we come to You today, and we're so grateful that You love us with perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear, and You love us perfectly. And we're so grateful that You are true love. And so, Lord, as we go today, we want to ask You that You would fill us with Your love as we love You, but that You would fill us with Your love for other people, that they would experience You when they experience us, that they would know that we're believers in You, but even beyond that, they would know that You are the Christ because they've experienced Your love through us. We thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us and your presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer teams across the front, hope you have a great week. God bless you.